May my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The earliest Christians, who were all Jewish, reached into the scriptures that they knew to find a way to explain the significance of the birth of Jesus of Nazareth. They found one such scripture in the writings of Isaiah. Isaiah had foretold the birth of a Savior, a Messiah, a child anointed by God. This child's birth and his subsequent suffering would cause a new age to dawn, in which peace and justice would reign. And the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. As Jewish Christians shared their faith with Gentiles, and Christianity became a religion with seasons to celebrate the events of Jesus' life, Isaiah's prophecies continued to frame the celebration of Jesus' birth. For Christians, Isaiah's words corresponded with what they had experienced. They rang true. The darkness of light had been dispelled, and a great light had shone. To the unbeliever, it has always been an outrageous claim to say that the world's darkness was conquered 2,000 years ago by the birth of a child to simple parents. And that is understandable. If you take it at its full face value, it's either the most wonderful thing you have heard or the most foolish of fabrications. In 1215, Francis of Assisi was deeply despondent. By this time, he had made his vow of poverty, and he had renounced his family's wealth. He had received the Pope's blessing for his new order of monks, which we now know as Franciscans. There were many people who had heard him preach. They had been impressed not just by his words, but by his simple self-sacrificial lifestyle. He was a successful evangelist, and he had transformed many lives. But Francis saw the glass half empty. The culture in Italy weighed on him. All around he saw selfishness, heartlessness, materialism, and he felt burdened and frustrated. We'd say he was burned out by that time. Knowing that he needed to renew his soul, he decided to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. He believed that if he could just stand where Jesus had stood, he would be renewed and his zeal would be restored. There were very real risks involved in a pilgrimage like this, because by this time, all the places that he would want to visit were in Muslim hands. But Francis was right. with every place he visited, he felt his spirit being renewed. But the most profound impact of all was to come at Christmas. For Christmas, Francis went to Bethlehem, and he stood in the grotto of the Church of the Nativity, and he gazed at the altar, which stands in the place where Mary is supposed to have laid Jesus in his manger. And Francis was completely overwhelmed. This, he said to himself, this is the place where God humbled himself, emptied himself, and became a man. He kneeled in silence, and as he did, he felt that the darkness that had gripped his soul was being lifted, and joy flooded his heart. It was to be the defining moment of his spiritual life. He would never forget Bethlehem and that cave at Christmas. Eight years later, in 1233, Francis was back in Italy, in the hilltop village of Grecia. He was still challenged by the hardness of people's hearts. It was the season of Advent, but all around Francis saw pervasive, shallow materialism. And that, he thought, did not bode well for Christmas. Francis feared that Christmas once again would be no more than a matter of giving gifts and sharing good cheer. He remembered the spiritual depth of his experience of Christmas in Bethlehem, and he longed that the people of Grecia would have a similar experience. But what could he do? He couldn't bring Bethlehem to Grecia. But then he realized that was just what he had to do. Bring Bethlehem to Grecia. And in Grecia, Francis set up the first living nativity scene, beginning a tradition that marks Christmas in churches and homes and public places, even to this day. It was a living nativity scene on a hillside. Francis recruited a Joseph and a Mary from among the villagers. There was a real baby for Mary to lay in a real manger. There were villagers who would be shepherds and angels. There was an ox and there was a donkey. In the form of a pageant, Francis recreated in Italy Christ's birth in Bethlehem. And he waited to see what impact it would have. It was better than he could ever have dreamed. Drawn by curiosity, the local farm people turned out in force. A midnight mass was celebrated by the nativity scene at the mouth of the cave by the light of the moon and the stars. Francis served as deacon, and he was the preacher. As he spoke from his heart about God taking on our humanity and pointed to the fragile infant in the manger, the villagers were as moved as he had been in the grotto in Bethlehem. He spoke about light conquering darkness. He spoke of the great act of love, whereby Jesus did not cling to the glory of his divinity, but humbled himself to be born in a manger so that he could live among us. He invited all who were present to consider the Nativity and ponder what a wonder it was that God's love for each of us was so great that he became one of us. And the villagers' hearts were truly warmed. They had heard the message of God's love. God knew that if he could set a child in our midst, he could save us from our darkness. Francis experienced the truth of that when he was in Bethlehem. The farmers in Italy understood the same truth when Francis brought Bethlehem to Grecia. And it is now our truth to grasp as we ponder a stable, a manger, a bewildered young couple, a child of mysterious origin, an ox, an ass, shepherds, and angels. May the Christ child clear the darkness from our paths and shed forth his glorious light. Amen.